The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
If you're new to the podcast, I am a radio host in Dallas. I've lived here for many, many years. I'm not from here originally, but I live here now. And whenever I travel and I tell people that I live in Dallas, two things are mentioned. One is the Dallas Cowboys, and one is the television show Dallas. People bring that up to J.R. Ewing, and it really has changed the profile of the city. And it's interesting, this show had global popularity when it showed in the late 70s and into the 80s. And it totally changed the image of this city that I live in because it was known as the City of Hate. This is the city that had the Kennedy assassination. And because of that television program, it totally changed the nature, the way that people perceive Dallas. And it's also made Dallas a city on the world map. People know Dallas wherever you go. And I really believe they didn't know Dallas before this television show. And to celebrate that, we have Linda Gray. Starred, of course, is Sue Ellen Ewing on the television show Dallas to celebrate the 40th anniversary of this show and what it did globally, because this show really did have a global impact, and it all ties into travel. And we will talk to Sue Ellen, or I should say we'll talk to Linda Gray in just a few moments. Also on the podcast, we have Elaine Glusak. She's from the New York Times. She recently had an article. She's actually a freelance writer, and she recently had an article in the New York Times about long distance travel on airplanes, including a flight, 18 and a half hour flight from Newark, New Jersey to Singapore. And this is unprecedented. It used to be you'd have to get off somewhere like Hawaii or Hong Kong and have a long layover and switch flights. It would take a very long time to get to the other side of the globe. Not the case anymore, because you could do it all in one flight. And the airlines that are offering these ultra long haul flights are doing some extraordinary things to make it more comfortable for you to be on a plane for 18 and a half hours. And we'll talk to Elaine about this new dawn in air travel. And speaking of innovations in air travel, also on the podcast today, David Norton, he's the CEO of Taos Ski Valley. And they actually recently started their own airline. Yes, a ski resort started their own airline, Taos Air. And really, I think this is the first time that anybody's ever done that. Attraction has started their own airline. Why do they do this? And why did they go first class all the way also? I mean, they actually have a jet that flies you from different locations into Taos. We'll talk to him about starting your own airline to serve your attraction. It's unprecedented in the travel business. That's also on the podcast. We're going to start with Linda Gray. And Linda, I am so excited to have you. Good morning from Dallas, Texas.
Good morning, Dallas, Texas.
How about that? I mean, if there's one place that needs to have an interview to talk about the 40th anniversary of the television show Dallas, it has to be Dallas, right?
It has to be. There's no question.
Well, let me tell you a little story rather quickly here. I got back from Budapest a few weeks ago. I met a friend there who grew up in Hungary during the communist era. And he said that Dallas was on TV in Hungary on Friday night. And he said that the country shut down when Dallas was on the air. And I'm sure you've heard many stories like that.
I have. And, you know, interesting that you may have mentioned Budapest, because they've just started running Dallas from the very beginning. They're just starting to run it. It's amazing that the country loved it so much that now they just, literally, they invited Patrick and I, we couldn't come, but to come over and sort of launch the whole beginning again. It was a phenomenon.
Well, it's interesting, because I have a feeling you've been there before, though, because you pronounced it correctly, and I didn't. You said Budapest. So I'm thinking you're quite the traveler and probably have already been to Hungary.
Quite the traveler. You're so cute. Well, because that's the way you pronounce it. So, you know, you learn. You just travel and you learn. So that's it.
You know, I read the article in Texas Monthly. I don't know if you got a chance to read it, because you're quoted in it quite frequently. It's it's an amazing article, and I learned so much about it. Another thing that I learned is, like, in Romania, how many, they put it on TV in Romania because they thought it would show, like, how horrible capitalism is, but actually it did the quite opposite. It made people fall in love
Everybody
with American
wanted those cars and
yes.
those clothes and those, you know, everything. They wanted everything. It was wonderful. I loved those stories, those great stories about the wall coming down. So whatever happened, I don't know, but they wanted Dallas lifestyle.
Yes, it's very, very interesting. And here's something that I didn't know in the article and was so interesting is really what a off-camera what a patriarch Larry Hagman was to the entire cast and crew. How many people whose weddings they had at Larry Hagman's house, how many people he walked down the aisle, what a friend he was to you throughout your life, just what an amazing person he was off camera.
Oh, yeah, he was extraordinary. You know, I think he was put on the planet to remind people that life is a party. He was a party at all times. You know, there was never a time where, you know, he didn't engage everybody. And, you know, I remember walking down the beach in Malibu when he lived there. And on Sundays, everybody would come to Larry's house. And he would have these flags from any country and every country in the world. And everybody would grab a flag and we'd all walk down, march down, following him, of course, down the beach in Malibu with these flags. And it was a parade and it was fun. And we'd go and eat at his house afterwards and, you know, extraordinary memories.
Yeah, him and his wife, it just was amazing to me when I read that story, just, you know, how he was really kind of the father of everybody on the cast, it seemed like. I mean, he just really was the leader of that family behind the scenes, and I didn't know anything about that. It was so neat to read that.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, the character he portrayed, and he was this extraordinary, consummate actor, great friend, etc. But, you know, he was the hub, and he made everybody laugh. He was there to, you know, shoulder to cry on. He was there for everybody. But most of all, the thing that I remember in the best thing that happened in those 40 years were the friendships. You know, I mean, everybody was a friend. When we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the show, which was hard to believe, we were all there, and it was the friendships that was the solidifying force.
A couple things I learned that are very surprising to me, and one is how much you really created pretty much the persona of Sue Ellen Ewing, and you, when you came to Dallas, you went and found out what people were talking about in Dallas, where they shopped, what they wore, and you created that persona. The writers didn't really do that. You did that for them.
Very kind. Thank you. Very generous of you. Sue Ellen didn't have very much to do in the very beginning. And I thought, if I'm married to this idiot, to this guy, J.R. Ewing, I have to have a few problems of my own. But I didn't know, I'd never been to Dallas, Texas in my life. So in 1978, when we landed there, there was an ice storm and everything was cold and brown and it was not attractive. I thought, oh, dear. And then I was playing this very wealthy Texan. So I thought, okay, I have to find out. So I loved doing the research because I love to find out what are the women like? What do they do all day? What is their focus? What are the, you know, et cetera. And I hung out at Neiman Marcus across the street from North Park, and I walked around. I'd have my nails done one day, and I love to listen, and I love to find out what's happening. Where do they go to lunch? Where do they shop? What do they wear? What do they do? You know, who are they? And so I did my homework, and out came Sue Ellen Ewing.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see. I also didn't know that you also directed some of the episodes of Dallas.
Well, that was, you know, I've been a strong proponent of women doing anything and everything, and since the inception of my life. And so when I asked them to direct, they fired me, basically. It's a long story, but they said no. They said, if you want to direct, then all the other women want to direct. And on. It was a very chauvinist time.
Sure.
A very chauvinist.
What a horrible thing to say. All the other women are going to want to direct. That's such a horrible thing to say. You'd never say that in 2018.
Up what the whole thing was. It was a very chauvinistic show. And so I persevered, and I studied with a French woman director whom I adored, and she was tough. She was hard on me. And so I said, okay, I'm ready. And I said, well, I really want to direct one show in the next 52. And they said, no, you're fired. They fired me after season eight. And then so I told Larry, I said, oh, I'm so sorry, I won't be back. He said, what do you mean you won't be back? I said, well, I was fired because I want to direct. And God bless his little soul. He's okay. So he said, he went in and said, if she goes, I go. Well, Larry wouldn't have left. But anyway, it sounded good. And so he fought for me. And I got to direct one. And then they were like, oh, she knows what she's doing, so we'll have her do some more. But it was tough, and it's still hard for women. It's challenging for women still. But we're making progress. So it was great, and it wasn't like a bad thing. It was like it wasn't like fighting, but it was hard back then. It was challenging.
Yes.
And it's, so anyway, that's what happened. Well, I was thrilled to direct.
Before I let you go, because I know your time is very short and I really appreciate it, I'd like to tell people that you really are actually a goodwill ambassador for the actual city of Dallas. And wherever I go in the world, people mention two things about Dallas. Everybody knows Dallas because of the Dallas Cowboys and because of that amazing show. And a tip of a hat to you for spreading the goodwill of Dallas and doing it for so many years.
And brand new, I was invited to become the goodwill ambassador to Dallas, Texas. It's brand new. I don't think they've announced it yet.
So. Oh, okay, okay. I think I've spoiled it for everybody, but it's fantastic. We couldn't have had a better ambassador.
I think in maybe a few days they're going to announce it. But I'm announcing it now. It's okay.
All right.
I better call and tell them I announced it.
Okay.
But I'm thrilled. I don't think they'll be upset. They'll be thrilled.
I'm definitely thrilled as a person who lives in Dallas.
Thank you. I am so excited. I have no idea what my duties are yet, but I will know in a couple of days, I think. So, but I'm thrilled. I mean, what an honor. What an honor. So that's all I have to say about that. That's just, and I'll let you know what I'm doing, and you'll probably see me there.
All right. Linda, thank you so much for your time. Continued success, and congratulations on all your past successes, too. And thanks again for being part of our show today.
Thank you very much.
By the way, if you're a fan of the show, I highly recommend the Texas Monthly article on the 40th anniversary of Dallas. I will link that article, by the way, on our travelwithhawkeye.net blog, so you can find it there. And I know we have a lot of international listeners who tune in who know exactly what I am talking about the popularity of Dallas in their home countries. By the way, if you are an international listener, and I know we have tons of them because we have over 100 countries that have tuned into the Travel with Hawkeye podcast, and I would love to hear from you. Let me give you a way to contact me. Go to our website, travelwithhawkeye.net. Let me get a shout out from you from where you're from, where you're listening from. I'm always constantly amazed. We got listeners the other day. I noticed that there were people listening to the podcast in Ecuador. I'm like, that's fantastic. I'd love to visit Ecuador. I studied Ecuador when I was in the third grade. I've wanted to visit my whole life. I would love to connect with you. And if you're listening to us in another country, I know we have, like I said, over 100 countries, go to our travelwithhawkeye.net website, and there's a contact page there, and I would love to hear where you're from and what you're interested in travel, and what you'd like to hear on our podcast in the future, or maybe something in your country that we think we should focus on. So go to our travelwithhawkeye.net and check out contact. It's down at the very bottom of the main page, and we would love to hear from you. All right, we want to talk about some innovations in air travel. In a few minutes, we're going to have David Norton here. He's from the Taos Ski Valley. They started their own airline. It's unprecedented. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. And also unprecedented is a chance to get on an airplane that travels 18 and a half hours. I think the B-52 bomber was like the only plane that did that before. But Elaine Glusak is a freelance writer. She recently wrote an article in the New York Times about a new a flight from Newark, New Jersey to Singapore. It's 18 and a half hours, and there's a lot that goes on with this 18 and a half hour flight, and the airlines are doing some things to make it more comfortable. But it's unprecedented in air travel. It's become a new thing. And so we start with Elaine here, and it's Singapore Airlines, isn't it, that offers this 18 and a half hour flight?
Yeah, that's right. And it's almost actually closer to 19 in the other direction. It's Singapore Airlines flying between Singapore and New Jersey, and that just took off last week. So it's officially the world's longest nonstop flight.
Yes, and the reason that they're able to do this now is mainly because of technological advances in airplanes. It's the new Airbus A350.
That's right. That's the one that Singapore Airlines is using. And these new aircraft, like Boeing's Dreamliner, are they're lighter. You can fly them more economically. They're not as they're not the gas hogs that they used to be. They fly with two rather than four engines. So all these sort of technological advancements make it economically feasible. It's always been possible to fly those distances, but it wasn't economically feasible.
Okay. That being said, that you're going to be on a plane for 18 hours, there's a human element to this that is being addressed by the airlines. And there's a couple other airlines that are doing this. I think Qantas has a flight from London to Perth. I think I read that in your article. And there's a few others. There's going to be a flight from Chicago to New Zealand. They're going to be direct. Before, you would have to get off somewhere in between and take a break and get on another flight. But now you could do it all in one flight. But 18 and a half hours, that's a very long time to be in an airplane, is it not?
That's a long time, especially if you're in an economy seat. I mean, but even in business, you know, it's just a really, really, really long time. So, as you mentioned, these airlines are trying to do everything they can to make it more comfortable so that you're going to feel better when you get off the flight. So some of the things are related to technology. For example, those airplanes that we talked about, they have more humidity in the air. So you actually, and you can tell, you know, you're not going to come off the plane as dry like you've been in the Sahara for a day.
My wife always complains of that, by the way. She says she gets so thirsty on a plane. I didn't even think about that. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And that actually is one of the advancements that sort of affects all travelers. A lot of these advancements are, you know, you get what you pay for. You're going to get more in business than you are in economy. But, you know, even in premium economy, for example, on Singapore Air, they're introducing food that was designed by Canyon Ranch, the destination spa, based in Arizona, and they're lighter, and they have less calories, and so they're bright and fresh, and you're not sort of being weighed down by heavy food designed to support your health.
Yeah, I saw that in your article, too, that the menus were different, because, you know, airline food, especially on American Airlines, and I don't mean American, the brand American Airlines, but airlines from the United States, they're really not known for their food. I think if you've ever flown international, like, wow, they dine a lot differently on international flights than they do on, you know, flights in the U.S., if you even get food anymore. But I saw that kind of, you know, I it was very interesting to me that actually they're thinking of everything. They're thinking about lighter menus. You said humidity in the air. And they're also kind of putting you on a food schedule that's trying to create, I guess, a time zone change that you're going to be experiencing with an 18 and a half hour flight.
Yeah, that's right. So they're trying to time the meals so that they're more in sync with your destination rather than where you left from. So it's kind of like taking all this advice that people always gave you about flying and how to combat jet lag. You know, like adjust to the time where you're going as soon as you can. So instead of just asking you to do that, the airlines are just going to help you do that by serving you food later that's like more in sync with where you're going.
Okay, now what is the sleeping situation like? Because on this one flight from Newark to Singapore, this 18-hour flight, there are two different classes. There's the business class, and then there's the premium economy, which, by the way, costs you about $1,400 to fly from Newark to Singapore, which is, in the scheme of things, for an 18-and-a-half-hour flight across the planet, not that bad of a cost. What is it like, first of all, to sleep in the business class section? What is that? There's no first class. It's just business class, right?
Right. It's just business and that premium economy that you mentioned. And in business, you get a lie flat seat. So it's a generous seat and you're able to, you know, lay down completely prone and, you know, you have nice duvets and it's as comfortable as it can be in the air. You don't fully recline in a premium economy, but it does have more pitch or space between the seats than what we think of as regular economy. And the seats are wider, and it is more comfortable.
Yeah. Legroom in the U.S., man, it has shrunk so much. I saw the extra legroom that you get in premium economy, and I was like, wow, okay, I might be a lot more comfortable in this seat than I am in the normal airplane seat.
Oh, yeah, me too. I totally agree.
Okay, but on top of all that, this is the thing that really interested me. You said that they're looking at some different types of amenities on these flights for future flights that are plus 8,000 miles, possible gyms, nurseries, bars, workspace, stuff like that. Is that really a possibility? Can you really have all that on an airplane?
Well, I think you probably can. It's just a matter of making it make sense for the airlines economically. Qantas has been sort of leading the charge here in terms of like thinking about the future and how they can redesign planes. And so they've come up with this project they call Project Sunrise, and they've asked these airplane designers to think about putting in a gym, or you know, or basically a place to stretch, or maybe they'll have a place for the kids to play, or a bar. So they're really, really fun projects, neat ideas. One of the ideas is to have like change some of the cargo area to like sleeping berths, which would be available to economy flyers. So they're all really fun things to think about, but I think we're still pretty far away from doing that. They say they put a dateline of 2022 to hear back from, or to try to get some of these things in the air, but we'll see. I mean, a lot of analysts say, well, if they can't make money doing it, they may not do it.
I see. Okay. Has there been any reaction from passengers who've flown this this flight, this 18 and a half hour flight? Like, they thought maybe it wasn't worth it. They would have rather had a layover, or like, this is a total time saver. I'm totally in on it. Have we heard anything from them?
You know, everyone I've heard from, and I've heard from quite a few people that were actually on one of these early flights, they say it was a really great experience, and they were really grateful that their time in flight, or their time in transit, I should say, was, you know, was a lot less than it would have been with a layover. You know, they're going to save potentially 6 hours in flying, and they found the flights comfortable and the food good.
Okay, so this is the question I ask. Say this becomes popular, like you say, you're saving 6 hours. The airlines are making money on this deal because of the new planes. After this gets to be a bit more of a regular thing, do you see the airlines starting to cut back on the meals, on the size of the seats, and trying to squeeze in more seats? Could that happen in the future?
No, gosh, you never know. I think that's always a possibility. You know, when it comes to sort of the profit motive, I think that you can never say never when it comes to an airline and squeezing in more seats, unless, for example, you know, the Federal Department of Aviation decides that there has to be a sort of minimum seat size so that they couldn't shrink them anymore. And that hasn't happened yet.
All right. All right. Well, appreciate your time. A great article. Thank you very much for kind of reporting for us from the new flight from Newark to Singapore. 18 and a half hours. 18 hours and 45 minutes on the way back, too, by the way.
Thanks for having me.
It was my pleasure. And by the way, we will link her article also on our travelwithhawkeye.net blog. Well, we're talking about some innovations in the airline industry. We mentioned this earlier that Taos Ski Valley has started their own airline. And David Norton, the CEO of Taos Ski Valley, joins us. And David, we think this is like unprecedented territory that nobody else has ever done. There's never been a destination or attraction that started their airline before, has there?
We do think it's brand new territory. We're very excited. We launched a couple weeks ago, and the response has been excellent so far.
Yeah, so you guys have decided to start your new airline. Now, first of all, what was the reason for Taos Ski Valley starting their own airline?
You know, we've got so many people that have always wanted to go to Taos. They state it's a destination of choice, and one of the biggest challenges has been just getting there. So there's been a new runway, an 8,600-foot runway in the making in Taos for the last 30 years. Last year it was completed, and the town of Taos, as well as the state of New Mexico, has been looking to now put it to good use. So we knew people wanted to come to Taos. We knew that Texas was a very, very big market of ours, and we started to investigate the best way to get air service into Taos and allow people to get there just so much easier than they had in the past.
Yeah, so now a lot of times destinations, cities, what they'll do is they'll make some type of deal with an airline, subsidize their flights into town. I've seen many places do that. I remember Chris had viewed it that one year. But you guys went another step, said, you know what? What if we just start the airline ourselves? And what all did that entail? I mean, you had to literally go out and buy planes, did you not?
So we talked to a bunch of different operators, and we first asked what would the cost be to operate, then looked into perhaps leasing a plane. And once we realized we had the option to purchase a plane, and with the purchase of a plane, it allows us to control the entire experience and to provide our service levels that are now becoming really recognized, that now that we have the new Blake Hotel, it just seemed like the best option. It seemed like a very innovative approach, and it seemed like a way to create an experience unlike anything else. So it'll feel like you're flying private. It'll be the price of commercial. We thought that would be a fantastic differentiator. So we went the purchase model, and now we have Taos Air starting up on December 20th.
Yeah, it's really incredible, too, because this is a first-rate operation. And you also offer some things that nobody else offers. Like when you fly out of the Dallas area, you have your own terminal. And you were telling me that you can literally show up at Love Field. You don't go through the main terminal. You go through your own terminal 20 minutes before the flight.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure some people will even cut it shorter than that. it's great. You're going to drive up. You park your car. You walk into the terminal. There's no charge for parking. You could keep the car there for several days or even a week if you'd like. You walk into the terminal. It's a very nice, like a lounge. And then you walk out onto the parking where the plane is. There's no TSA because it's 30 passengers. We'll have a manifest of everybody's flight flying on the plane, and we'll check who they are prior to the flight. But you walk onto the plane. You fly less than 2 hours to Taos. We'll have B Corp products like Patagonia Provisions and New Belgium beer on the plane and other B Corp certified wines on the plane. That'll be unique. And then when you land in Taos, the stairs will go down. Our shuttle will come right out onto the tarmac. You'll take 2 or 3 steps to the shuttle. We'll bring you right up to the Blake and Taos Ski Valley. We've also partnered with Rossignol, which is a great ski and snowboard company, so that if you show us your boarding pass, we'll have demo quality skis and snowboards waiting for you. So we do believe you can get from your house to the slopes in less than 4 hours. We think it's going to be a really like a private flight type of experience. I think we're setting the mark on something really new and very, very unique.
Yeah, it really is. And you guys, that's the cool thing, too. This is a first-rate operation. It's a jet, too. It's not a prop-wing flight. It's a jet that you're flying into Taos, and you're not that far from the ski valley. You take the shuttle there, and then you stay at the Blake Hotel, which, correct me if I'm wrong, someone told me this. The Blake Hotel at Taos Ski Valley, which opened up just a couple of years ago, has the highest rating on TripAdvisor of any hotel in the world. Is that correct?
That is correct. We opened February 1st of 2017. So this will be our second full winter. We are starting to run the operation year round. The summer is wonderful. But the reviews have been fantastic. This is an independent hotel and we run it ourselves. It's not branded. We don't have a hotel operator in. You know, we tell our staff to be themselves, be friendly and be helpful. And I think that alone has really made people feel comfortable. But we do have the highest rating of any hotel on TripAdvisor in the world right now. So we're very, very pleased with that.
And I will say, too, the ski in, ski out experience at the Blake Hotel at Taos Ski Valley is probably the best in the world because you walk out the door of the hotel, your skis are stored there right outside, you know, right at the bottom of the hotel there. There's a special room to take your skis, put them there. You walk literally, I would say, 15 steps to the main lift at Taos. And I'm not making that up, am I? I mean, it's that close to the main lift.
Yeah, I haven't counted it yet, but Hawkeye, now I've got incentive to do so. So I'll get back to you on that. It's probably in that 15 to 20 step range. It's right there, slope side. And, you know, this is all part of a major revitalization at Taos. We're 4 years into it. We probably have a few more years to go. But a real major revitalization. We're maintaining our independence. We're maintaining the intimate scale that you're talking about, that proximity to the slopes. But you are absolutely right. This is a hotel that is super, super quick access to what we call Lift 1, the first lift out of the base area.
Which, by the way, if you ever ski Taos, and I know a lot of people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area have skied there because of their excellent ski school and just their noted slopes, there's going to be a change in the base area when it comes to the main lift when you go to ski this winter. A dramatic shift, actually.
That's right. Lift 1 and Lift 5, currently the two lifts that came out of the base area, are both being replaced. They're coming out, and we will replace that with a high-speed detachable quad. The load test for that lift is next week. And so if you come out this winter, there'll be a brand-new detachable high-speed quad out of the base area. It'll move you up the mountain quicker and with a lot more comfort.
And if you're so inclined to go down Owl's Run, which I've done once in my life, now instead of two lifts that go down Owl's Run, there's only one. So it's opens that up even more.
With one lift instead of two, that means less towers, less hardware. It's a much, much, much cleaner look and feel. And you'll be able to drop into Owl's right off the top of Lift 1. So it's nice. I think Lift 1 now may be one of the only lifts in the country where you can ski off of lift one onto a green run, which is the easiest, a blue, which is your intermediate, a black, which is your advanced, or a double black, which is your expert. So we've got every level
wow.
of skiing off of lift one.
And you know this, I've been to Taos Ski Valley, been going there for years, and it's one of my favorite places to ski. And I always look for an excuse to come out there, and just the things that you guys are doing, the innovative things, and then just the tradition of it too, that the Blake family started many years ago. It's great to see that you guys are continuing on that tradition.
One of the things we have to do is keep the spirit and the soul of Taos, and that's why people come. The art, the history, the culture. We've got the Pueblo right down the road. This is a community that has been there for 1,000 years, the longest continuously inhabited community in all of North America. The Hispanic community is thriving and dates back to the mid-1500s, and the Taos Society of Artists 100 years ago brought tremendous and beautiful paintings and artwork to the area. So we've got a lot of that. You know, we think people should come and enjoy a great recreational experience, but go home with a cultural experience as well.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the Taos Pueblo, isn't that a UNESCO World Heritage Site?
It is, yep.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, David, really appreciate your time. Congratulations on the startup of Taos Air. That's really exciting. That's an impressive endeavor. You can find more information on your guys' website. I'll link that on our Travel with Hawkeye blog. And a one-in-a-kind experience, too, to travel with like a private jet type of feel right to Taos. No longer have to fly. Before, you had to fly into Albuquerque or just recently into Santa Fe, but still it was a long drive back to Taos from either one of those airports. So this totally changes the whole experience. Sounds like just a fantastic venture.
Okay, thanks so much.
David Norden, CEO of Taos Ski Valley. By the way, I checked the prices on that. I don't know if you're wondering how much is this going to be if it has a private plane experience. Tickets from Dallas to Taos one way are about $250, which is very, very comparable. Also, you don't have to rent a car, too, while you're there, because they'll pick you up on the shuttle. So I want to thank David, the CEO of Taos Ski Valley, for joining us, and wish them great success with their own airline. Also, a big thank you to Linda Gray, talking about Dallas, the 40th anniversary, and Elaine Glusak, the writer from the New York Times, and her article about long-distance haul traveling. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. The world is out there. Your adventure awaits.